All right. Well, we had started into a series, The Life of Christ. We're going in tonight to look at that. We did the introduction about in our opening about what it was like during that time. The scriptures really doesn't tell us a lot about what was going on during that time period. It tells us certain things, but in the study of history of the time period, when Jesus came, it wasn't a wonderful time. You know, we look and read, you know, the birth of Christ, and people talk about it, you know, and that kind of stuff, but we really need to understand what it was like for the people that, in those days. It wasn't good at all. You know, we complain today about situations and things in our government and things like that. Well, you know, if you lived in that time, people would have never said or posted online, if they had that in those days, anything about the government, because the Romans would have came and killed you. That would have been that simple. You wouldn't have had a trial. You wouldn't have had none of that. They just came and killed you. That would have been it. And, you know, there was, it was really a bad time. Poverty was so widespread. The majority of the people were poor. There was a huge gap. There wasn't really much of a middle class. It was like poor and the rich, and the rich were a very small group. There wasn't really a huge group, so majority of the people were poor. One of the things we're going to look at tonight, as we go on, it really is part of the history of the time that we want to look at, because there we talk somewhat about some of these groups, but we want to in a little more detail here. Really, when we look at who controlled government and religion at that time? So it was really a conglomerate of thing, you know, and it's easy to understand, if you understand the history of the time, the opposition against Jesus, because from the religious groups to the governmental groups, I mean, they're just all heading in a completely different direction. He comes along and as we look at this, the Word of God, even among the people who are supposed to be following the Word of God, or really following mostly men's traditions and things, you know, it's one of the things is today, we have a, you know, Paul wrote to the church at Galatia and said to them about them, they're preaching another Christ, where they sort of make up their own gospel. And we have that in the churches of America today. There's a lot of gospel stuff that's made up by men and not what the Bible says. And there's a lot of that out there. And that's one thing is people need to come along with, you know, there's things that we talk about and say, but there's never any explanation made. You know, it's just, I was just read a thing here, you know, and there was, a person was reading the article, you know, writing to people and tell them, you know, well, God unconditionally loves you, but they don't explain what they mean when they say that. God loves everybody, but everybody ain't going to heaven.
That's right.
And see, it's the fact that God loves you doesn't mean you're all right with Him. And people we got a messed up gospel today that is really a flaky gospel. Is the idea, you know, there is a hell and there's a heaven.
Right.
And I'll just tell you this straight out, there's going to be more people in hell than there are in heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to get a hold of this. God loves everyone. But man has to respond to God. This isn't a fact, you know, I love my children, but I remember spanking them.
Mm-hmm.
It was because I didn't love them. It's because I loved them.
Amen.
If somebody is walking in love and is righteous, like the Bible says God is, he's just, then he must correct people. If he doesn't, he is neither righteous nor is he just.
Right.
And if he is neither of those, he definitely is not love. You know, the Bible says, because God loves you, He chastens you. That's what it says in the New Testament. That's marked out in most Christians' Bibles. That's like from the government. They give you a document and they go through and mark all those spots out that you don't see. Well, that's most of the American Bible is marked out in a lot of places. It's, you know, we don't like that. I remember, you know, growing up and, you know, my parents, they didn't beat us a lot, but they made there anything like, we got spanked, not a lot, because we knew that you were going to get spanked if you did something. No, you just didn't listen. You were going to. It wasn't a question you might or might not. It was going to happen if you got out of line, so you learned quick on that. But, you know, as my parents, when I, you know, as I go along in life and I looked and I think, as I got older and I thought, I was really glad my parents corrected us, because You know, when I started getting, I'll never forget, I was 17 years old when I went in the Army. And I was went in the Army, and you know, you go in and you know, there's everybody in the world there. Anybody you can think of, any background of anything, and they're all there. And I was really thankful for my parents, because so many people were so undisciplined in life, and so, and everything was hard for them to do. They were always in trouble all the time, and there's always stuff going on. I didn't have a problem. Because, you know, we were taught, you know, you obey the orders and you do what they tell you to do. And to me, that was easy. But for a lot of people, that wasn't easy. I mean, just waking up in the morning was hard for them. I mean, like getting up in the morning was bad day, start off right away. Because, you know, they just messed up lives and that kind of thing. And there's one thing about it, a disciplined life is really very helpful. It's easy for you. I mean, it was never hard. We had to get up and go to work. I mean, I never thought, like people say, oh man, I gotta go to work. Just part of life. Shut up. You know? Amen. Complaining about it every day don't change a darn thing. You know? It doesn't change nothing. Why griping about it? You know, I just, you know, I got onto this thing. I liked the money. So I didn't maybe necessarily like sometimes jobs I had, but you know, there's one thing is I did like money. I liked having money in my pocket and being able to buy stuff and do things. So I just figured, you know, well, at least I can get some money out of this thing. So, you know, at least I'm going to do that.
Right.
So, you know, some people, you know, then you have the weird Christians on the other side. They talk about it like you shouldn't like money. And those are the ones that like money because, you know, they like to hold on to it. I don't give it to anybody else. But, you know, it's like I always do tell people, the whole point is I went to work for money. If you ain't going to pay me, you're not going to see me. I'm coming for the money. If you don't pay, you ain't that good of a person that I want to see you today. So, but, you know, in life, but when you grow up in a society, and in Jesus' day, there was so much messed up. I mean, I want to think about this. The average person lived day to day. They didn't have some money set back. This is one thing, if you go from Scripture and get to understand, Jesus talked about paying a person. See, they used to do this. You got paid every day in that day. It's a reason why you were going to need that money to buy food for that day. You know, see, I've been in loads of countries in this world, and a lot of countries in this world you go to, and a huge amount of the people in those countries live from day to day. They, you know, they don't have any extra food in the house or anything. Whatever they get that day, they go out and get it. A lot of them spend a lot of time just going around and gathering and trying to get stuff. Mm-hmm. We talk about poor in America. America's the biggest fake in the world. About they don't know what poor is. We haven't seen poor. I mean, we go out here and they'll show you. You go around the communities, they show you the poor people, and half of them are fat. You know, because they're starving to death. You know, we got to get them more food. Just, how'd that happen? You don't have enough to eat. You're not 400 pounds over. Well, you know, when we think about this, I mean, you go around, I mean, I've been places and that stuff, and I mean, it hurts you to be around them. It hurts to see what they go through. I was at places and that stuff. I bet over half the people in the area were sick. Over half. I mean, and they ain't got no money. They're lacking food. They're lacking everything. And, you know, it's when you think about that, in Jesus' day, when we talk about, they talk about the birth of Jesus, we need to understand what people were like at that time and what was going on. You know, we wonder why, like people, you know, when Jesus came, we look at the fact that we celebrate here in America from our plenty standpoint of all that we have. And a lot of the world don't do that. And we look back at Jesus' day, that wasn't, you know, the idea of what was going on at that time. It was really oppressive for the people. One of the things that you have to get a hold of as a Christian, God usually doesn't show up when things are real good. If you follow things and moves of God, it's always been real bad, you know. I want to tell you about America. America and the colonies. We have America during that right before the American Revolution went. The colonies and stuff and things were going on. There was a revival broke out in the colonies of America, and everybody thinks about it. Now, I've heard people talk about it, and I've read about those revivals that broke out, and everybody talks about, they talk about the revival and how God moved, but they don't ever talk about what it was like when God moved. Like, we think here in America, you know, all these wonderful people, you know, and they fight out here, and, you know, they sit to set free from England. At that time period, women in the towns of a lot of the colonies couldn't even go out in the daytime by themselves and walk around because there were so many drunken men and stuff going on and stuff. It was terrible. they don't put that in the history book, you know. That would don't be. But see, God comes. And don't think it's weird, because if you go over and look at European revivals, it was the same kind of stuff. Things were terrible. Things were going on or bad. Do you know why? Because we usually don't call on God till things get real ugly.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yep. So He don't come. See, if you seek, you find. When you're not seeking, don't be surprised you don't find anything. When people are doing very well, they don't need God. At least they don't, well, they do, but they don't think they do. I learned this. When things are going real well, seek God. Amen. Or things will go real bad, and you will wish you had have sought Him before they got that way. That's just the way it is. I've often wondered this, and I, you know, just about humanity. I mean, before I got saved, I often thought about this. Why did I let my life go the way that I did before I came to Christ? Why did I do that? Why did I have to just get real messed up? What is it with humanity that we have to do that? We have to wait, keep doing the same dumb thing 47 times. It never worked either time. But we just keep doing it over and over, getting bad results, till finally one day we'll say, well, I need help. So we should have figured that one out 5 years ago. But this wasn't working. I don't know why, but it seems humanity is like that. Follow history and see how things went in history. People never change till things got rotten. I mean, it's just, I don't know why. That's man keeps trying to save himself. Mm-hmm. It doesn't work. I mean, I proved that in my life. That doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So, is getting over yourself. This is one of the things, is man needs help. Israel was looking for the Messiah. They knew that the Messiah, isn't it interesting, the people who know, it's just like today, much of the church world, there's people talking about Jesus Christ coming back, but it's the strangest thing in the world. I know people who tell me that they believe Jesus is coming back, but they sure aren't walking and living like Jesus is coming back.
Amen.
They're walking and living like He ain't showing up no time shortly. And this is one of the things, is like I said, check yourself about what you say you believe. Many people say, I believe certain things. But you know, here's the danger. You keep saying you believe something, but you don't ever walk in it. You're going to get so dark after a while that that's going to mean nothing to you. And you won't even have a belief in that anymore. You'll just say it for your religious friends so they think you are some kind of spiritual something or other. But you have no belief in it. See, this is why we be very careful about. This is one thing, is why it's going back to the Word, sitting under teaching, but also studying for yourself. Keeping yourself refreshed that the Word is true. Keeping yourself on top of it. Because the Word does a wonderful thing. It's education itself. It judges us concerning knowledge. See, we need judge concerning knowledge, you and I. Is that from the fact that we're not just gaining up information, but we're applying truth.
That's right.
That we do that. You know, it's just like when I went to school, you know, I went to school and I had all these different subjects and different things. But you know, the majority of it I've never used in my life. And you know what? If you took me back to go over that stuff, it would be starting all over again. Why? You get away from it. Even though you knew the things before, after a while, it's gone. It's not there anymore. What you don't use, and this is why you go back over and you continue to study the Bible and that stuff, you continue in it. Because if you don't, I will guarantee you what happens after a while. For a while you mimic it, and after a while you don't even mimic it anymore. It just, isn't, it isn't, doesn't mean anything. So I just learn over time, I just stay with it. I just, you know, to me, you make it such a practice in your life that is the normal for you to just go do it, you know, and that's what you want to do. It just becomes a normal practice, going back to it and going back to it. But we want to look at some of these people. One of the groups that we had talked about at the time, which you read about in the scriptures, you know, these groups, is the Pharisees. Pharisee means separate. They considered themselves as separated toward God, but really, they were more a separate people. Now, I grew up in groups like this. I grew up, and it's not knocking the plain people. There was a lot of good things among them and that kind of stuff. But they were sort of, in a way, separate. You know, getting around a sinner, it'll get on you. And they didn't realize. The Bible doesn't teach that. The Bible teaches the problems, the trouble people in the, among your own are where the problems come from. That's where the problem, that's in the Bible. You know, Paul wrote about it. He told him not to hang around anybody that calls himself the brother who does certain things. He said, the world, don't worry about it. You don't worry about that. You know, he said, they're not your problem. See, the world's not my problem. This is where you can get into religion. Religion does this. It always points to somebody but itself. I found this out. The way, if I want to change in life, I have to look at me. I can't change without, I can't change looking. See, many people trying to fix their problems, and if you'd straighten out, I'd get a lot better. I'd be a much better person if you'd go somewhere else, you know. I'd be a much better person if you'd, and really, that is in Christianity. We don't watch ourselves. What it is, if others straighten out, like, you know, then I'll be okay, and I'll be fixed. And that's not the way it works. You know, we have to be able to live around people, whether they're walking right or doing right. We still got to do what's right. We still got to walk and right what was right. When I came into the kingdom, that was one of the first things, and I often thought it was strange because most people get saved. They come into the kingdom and they want to learn a whole bunch of different things and stuff like that. But when I came into the kingdom, God was really dealt with me about me. He has spent a lot of time, you know, in the... See, the Bible calls this a mirror. The Word says this. This is the mirror of the Word. And see, when I would look into this, I would find things and I'd say, my God, I'm pretty cloudy looking. I don't make a good picture, you know. My one eye's looking this way and the other one's looking that way. I just, you know. And really, that's what you... The Word is a place that corrects, and the Word is a place that does. If people have a hard time getting the Word and getting studying the Word, I can tell you what's wrong with them. When they don't like the way they look in it. So stay away from it. I'm happier being what I am. Because you're the one that's weird. It isn't me. Well, I found out I was the one who was weird. It's like when I got saved, I always say this, because the Lord told me Wanda wasn't saved. I got saved first, but the Lord said to me, to let her alone. He said, she don't trust you. And I thought, well, dear God, I can understand why. That I didn't even argue with him about that, because I didn't trust me. I couldn't. I mean, I was just, that's the way I was. He said, leave her alone. So, and it's understand that about things. There's one thing as any in relationships, whether you're around with people or not. If you're not a very trustworthy, are you a trustworthy person? Are you? You might find out that's why you have a lot of problems with people. It ain't them. You're not trustworthy. They have no confidence in you. You know, if you don't have a good reputation, you know, this is one of the things I'll tell you this. Leave your relatives alone, because most of them don't like you anyhow. No, I'm serious. Well, you know, this is why families that get around politics, don't they fuss and fight? It's because they really don't trust each other, and they don't. They don't want anybody else to be better than them or know more than them, and they fuss about it. You do better with somebody that don't know you. Did you ever notice that?
Yeah.
You know why they do? Because they don't know what you're like. No, not with the whole thing. Because why? When people look at you, when you get together in a group, this is why groups, why there's so much that goes on. There's a lot of people that get along with each other because they don't see each other much. That's what I do with my family. I don't see them a lot. So when I see them, we all get along good. Because when you get around each other. You know what? They're doing that stuff. See, I don't, and they get around with them. They get around each other, and you all got something to say about each other. I don't have nothing to say about any of them. I don't care. So they say their stuff, and I don't get involved in it. I stay happy, and I go away happy and everything, and they go away. I don't know what they are. They're happy or what? I don't know if they're really happy to see each other or not. See, and if you, this is why, as we're going in here, look at these groups. When we look at religious groups, the Pharisees, there was like about 1.5 million people in this area, and there's only about 6,000 Pharisees. Well, you see that under Jesus' ministry, the Pharisees are talked about quite often under his ministry. And these were very religious. Their religion stuff was based on, what they had done is they took 613 laws that they had written from the law of Moses. You know, the law of Moses was filled with rules. One thing is really amazes me that how they didn't come to figure out that you can't keep the law.
Yeah.
Now here's what religion does. They didn't have enough laws. So they took 613 of them out of there. They took them out of the law of Moses. And that's what they call the Torah. That's the Torah. If you go over to the Jewish side, they have the Torah. But anyhow, but they surrounded those laws with hundreds of laws which were called, that they put together. And these laws were for this purpose, to protect those other 613 laws, you know. See, they had to figure out how, because, you know, see, God's word wasn't enough. They had to get their word in on it. Oh boy, do people do that, you know. See, I have to get my word in on it, so. God's word's not enough. I got to get mine in on. Well, they did. But they called those laws the traditions of the elders. Jesus talked to them about that. That they followed the tradition of the elders, but not the word of God. He said to them about it. See, the traditions. You need to understand this about life. Traditions. Now, we have natural traditions and things. In fact, they become squabbling points. This is why groups can't get along with each other. Because this party has this tradition, that tradition. And they become gospel to people. Even sinners have their gospel of traditions.
Yep.
Don't you break the tradition, you ugly thing. Because those traditions are more important than God. You have to learn that, the traditions. And this is one of the big separations of people that cause problems. Is we have these traditions. I mean, it's just what people do. You know, it's one thing. You can have traditions, but if somebody else don't have my traditions, I don't even care. I don't care. It doesn't matter. You know, if it's just tradition. You know, there's traditions we have as families and groups that we like. Well, have at it. But if somebody else don't care for it, that's your tradition. See, everybody be happier when we do these. But you see this. When people do this, see, the Pharisees became a big sore to the people because they're rulers. And man, the people have to live after all of their traditions. In other words, they set how everything's run. They decide. See, this is one of the things that I found out from a governmental standpoint. I found out when you get Christians in government, sometimes becomes just as much a pain as the sinners are in government, because they bring their traditions and everybody has to follow their traditions, and their traditions are their God. You know? And see, we need to be careful about this stuff. See, because all of these things go on, what happens? Trust is broken. Trust is broken. And when it is, it gets hard to communicate. We can say things and we go tell, you speak the truth, but it becomes difficult for people because if they don't trust you, if they're not sure about you, because everything around them is sort of untrustworthy. You know, right now, I mean, you've taken our nation. This is what's going on. This is one of the reasons I believe Jesus is coming back soon. It's going to be a big move of God. Because why? We're a mess. We got this exact stuff going on right now in our country. I mean, they just did a survey among Gen Z, and they don't trust the Republican Party, the Democratic Party. They don't trust the media. They don't trust anything. Why? Because it's all been untrustworthy. Why would you trust it? Why would we trust? They're like the age from the late teens and early 20s. They don't trust. They don't like it. But I don't blame them. I join them. If anything that I have seen, that these our leaders have proved themselves untrustworthy. You know, I mean, they've taken people and they told them, you need to go to college. Boy, you've got to go to college and you need a degree. Well, I know it don't help you in your as being a good person, because Washington, everybody down there got a degree. Whoa, isn't that a great place? I want to go down there and hang out with them right now. I mean, it's going to really be nice. We're really getting along. Makes you great people. None of them lie, steal, or cheat. They don't steal anything. They don't cheat anything. Oh, they're all wonderful. Halos, you know, the whole nine yards. Wings. Hey, it's wonderful. But see, we were told things. What? Things become untrustworthy. What we're told, people are starting to see that. Now, we don't like that because it causes trouble. There's chaos going on. This is what they had at that time. All this stuff is going on, but it's good. It's good. Because why? Man loses trust in man. They're going to have to find trust in something. A lot of Christianity, the Christians are trying to be the savior of the world. I just want you to know this. I ain't the savior of the world. We need a move of God. Well, really, that's what they needed. These guys had set this religious string. Now, their interest was in religious affairs and not political. But loads and loads of religious ideas and religious thinking of things, which is really not good. There's one thing as we need to know as individuals about this. I was in, like with growing up, like we're among plain people. They were mostly focused with, you know, their work and their church and their church groups. And they really didn't get involved or look over at anybody else and, you know, everybody else in the what was going on in the political side and all that stuff. They sort of had this hidden life that they lived, which really wasn't a good thing at all. It wasn't good. Because whether they really, the people they worked for and their jobs that they went to and stuff like that, you know, they were involved in these kind of things and in life, and they had to be. You know, whether you like it or not, you have to be involved in things in life. I mean, you're going to have to, you know, you're out here, you're going to be around other people. We're not called to be hidden. We're not called to be, you know, to ourselves. I worked at H.B. Reese Candy Company, we had some Christians who, you know, they were always trying to separate themselves from it. They didn't, you know, why don't I like to work over here in this person? And they'd be upset, like, you know, this person here, you know, they curse a lot and that kind of stuff. I don't like to be around them. That never bothered me. They were a sinner, you know, and it's like, I was a sinner. See, people lose this. They get religious and think somehow that they were just this wonderful thing all their life. And what happened? They lose the sight of what other people are like, the people we're supposed to be reaching. And they lose that sight. Well, see, that's what the Pharisees did. And today we have this great law. See, I really saw it in the last presidential election we had, how the church had really lost itself concerning looking at other people in government. Always criticizing, always mad about stuff of what they're doing. They're sinners, acting like sinners. Does God quit loving them because they did? Hey, God loved me and I was the biggest jerk in town. And you know what? Since I got saved, sometimes I'm the biggest jerk and so are you. And He still loves you. He's amazing. And so we need see, this is what religion, the Pharisees, right? They were separate. They separated themselves from everything. And they became a pain in the neck. They weren't help. They weren't helping God at all. You know, we're this self-righteous group over here, and we're not. Our righteousness was given to us. You don't have a righteousness other than what was given to you.
That's right.
You don't have one. We weren't saved by works, so we were saved by no righteous deed. God gave us righteousness on the basis of faith. Always remember that. Whenever you want to get into a religious mode, always think about that. what I have, if I have any love in me, it's because the love of God was shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. I didn't come up with it. I didn't figure it out. I didn't. It was given to me. It's a gift to God. It's just God's love. So if I'm able to love, I'm not doing it based on some religious great thing that I've come to or what I've arrived at. And see, well, this is with the Pharisees. They've lost the thing. These religious guys, they're really what you would call, from a religious standpoint, they're like right-wing extremists over here. They're in this area that we're holier than thou. They really look down on the average person and that stuff and things. They look down on them. And instead of these are the people we want to reach and help, they didn't become that. And so we don't want to do that with people. We need to watch it. We need to see this. And this is why we have to deal with ourselves. This is one that I'm just really convinced, because when I look at these things here and study about the past, it's number one, people say, we need to study history so we don't repeat it. Forget it. I study history because I know they're going to repeat it. I just want to see it when it comes so I know what it is, so I don't have to get involved in it. But it's going to repeat itself, always. History always repeats itself. It does. Always repeats itself. And so, we're in a time of that, and that's why I look today as, I'm very hopeful of the times. People are always worried about, whoa, how things are going to get so terrible. You know, it's going to get so bad, we're going to need God. That's how rotten it's going to get. It's going to get so awful that we can't fix it. Woohoo! Now it's going to get good. God will show up because men will stop and start finally. After all their brilliance failures, they'll stop and say, God help us, we can't fix it. See, why didn't we do that 10 years ago? I don't know. We were just I got another degree at school, and so I thought that one was going to help me. But I'm very hopeful about it. Because see, when I look and I study in Jesus' time, and listen, the Bible says this, that God sent the Messiah, the Christ, in due season. Which really means the right time. Mm-hmm. Well, I'm just going to tell you this. If God would have asked us when the Messiah would have been sent, we would have all been wrong. See, why did he say when things were doing great? You think he didn't pay a pension to him when times are bad? They would have. If times were good, go back and study Jewish history in the scriptures about how things went. But this is one of the groups, and really, when you have these, had the influence, and understand these guys had a lot of influence, because they influenced whether people and that stuff were, if you got out of line, you got kicked out of the synagogues. You know, and the synagogue, really, especially for the poor people, that was really their connection in their communities and stuff and things. And you got kicked out of there. It's like I saw in my time, especially when I first came into the kingdom, you know, if a Jewish person accepted Jesus, I mean, the other Jews, I mean, cut him off. It was the funniest thing in the world, because I talked to Jews about this fact. Because a Jew could connect to almost any other religion, and the other Jewish people didn't mind. But if it was Christianity, that was the one they hated. If a Jewish person became a Christian, man, you're done. They could join any cult. I'm serious. I know Jews that got into weird cults, and the other Jews said, oh, they're okay, they're all right. And then turn on somebody who became a Christian, and a man is like, you're done. But see, we look in Jesus' day, it was the same way. When they went to Christianity, the Jews hated them. They hated them. So in Jesus, in his day, these things that are going on, we see here, these leaders are supposed to be spiritual leaders. We would call them word people. They considered themselves word people of the day. But really, they had a lot of stuff that wasn't word, which they considered the word of God. It was what they figured out that they thought God wanted them to say. It's like the tradition of the elders down through time. They just added things and added things and added things, and this became their stuff. They made it the word of God, that God had not said it. It's like I always, you know, take Kenneth Hagin when he said, God gives you a word and you make a sentence, you know. It's like, no, that's what they did. They made sentences, paragraphs, and complete stories. I mean, they took stuff and they just went way overboard with it. And what happens is they got way out in left field. They got, and really, they were not help at all to the people. They weren't help at all. The other so-called, quote, religious groups we have today also, the Sadducees. Now, the Sadducees at that time, they held the high priest office at that time. The Sadducees, if you follow scripture, it shows you. The high priest was a Sadducee in Jesus' day, and his family, they ran the high priest office. And so when you need to understand these influences, because of you look at the what you have is the other leaders and stuff, from government leaders and things. This gets into, I mean, it's really weird stuff. Now, they were intertwined between religion and politics. They had some religious stuff. We would call them today, as what we would do is we would say, or like religious liberals, if we would go from a Christianity standpoint, we'd say like they're more like the major denominational people. They have certain parts of the Bible they believe, in certain parts they don't. Now, they didn't believe in anything supernatural. So that goes into a lot of the church world today. They didn't believe. See, it's in the book. I mean, I want to know how you cannot believe in the supernatural and say you're a Christian.
That's right.
You don't believe in miracles happening, things, and you're a Christian. You got a different Bible than I got. And if you believe it was only for back then and not now, you're worse off than the guy who don't believe it at all. What's the point of the Bible? Like to me, I've told people, say, let's tear all the pages out of what you don't believe. Say, we'll have a Bible, you know, 7 pages. My God, this will be easy to follow. My God, we could sit down and read through it every day. See, I read the Bible every day. But the Sadducees, they didn't believe in angels. And it's funny. I often wonder how they sat down and read through the book of Genesis and all the talk of angels and Jacob especially.
Yeah.
All the angels. My God. And angels showed up all through. You know, you go through. They didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in resurrection. Yet the Old Testament's full speaks toward the resurrection. Amazing. But they didn't believe. But you know what? Today, I mean, you go around today. There's groups of Christians who call themselves Christian today. They don't believe there's going to be a resurrection like that. No. That's all symbolic. You say symbolic of what? They don't have a good idea. It's just symbolism. Well, symbolism of what? Well, sorry, we don't have answers for that. Well, how would you know it's a symbolism? You know what it's for. It's like, but it's a good religious statement. But this is what we have. So these guys are there. So do you see this, that nothing really changes? You see, it wasn't Rome running the place. It was the devil.
That's right.
It was the devil running the system. He got some of them real crazy religious on this side. He got some of them, they just didn't believe, some of them throwing everything out. So, but see, we have all this today. There's one thing, as I look at, if I read the Bible and it was for some other time and it don't fit for now, I don't need it. Why study what I don't need? Well, what's the point? Wouldn't be any point to have it. It's why? Because nothing really changes. Man does the same thing over and over and over again. See, we can learn to laugh at ourselves. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
You won't cry so much. Don't you run and laugh at yourself? Because you know, we do this. God loves us. He'll help us, right? It's one thing is that if we don't get ourselves so full of pride and everything else, and God can help you and He'll do wonderful things for us.
Amen.
I'm just convinced of this. I need Him. I need help. Hallelujah. If anybody needs help, I'm at the top of the list. I just believe I am. I just, people talk about grace. Well, God gave us grace. Why? Because you need grace. You can't live without it. You can, if you don't have grace, you are not living a Christian life if you're not cooperating with grace. And you can't cooperate grace without God. It's an impossibility. And so if I want to live this life and I want to live a life that's pleasing to God, I need His grace, so I need God's help big time. Hallelujah. I need, grace is God's ability. It's not just Him being nice to me. It's His ability. Grace is God's ability works in me. Without God's ability, you can never live the Christian life. You need God's ability, and thank God He's given that. And so, praise the Lord. Well, what they did was this. They accepted, these Sadducees, they accepted the law of Moses as more or less is a behavioral, you know, laws. You know, this is just how to behave yourself. You know, that's the people today. Really, they take what God said and they turn it into psychology. That's what you do. You turn it over to psychology. You know, we'll just set up some nice things here and do this, do that, you know. And we're all going to be good people and we're all going to do this. And that works out real well, you know. So, they, you know, see, it's one of the things, when you take out of God's Word its power, when you take out of it, understand this, God's Word, there is no power of God without God's Word. You have to understand, you got saved by the power of the Word.
That's right.
Faith came to you. Faith comes by hearing the Word. The power to save you came from faith in the Word, which came from the Word. It wasn't your faith. God gave you faith. Faith came by hearing, so therefore it wasn't that you didn't have it. You didn't have faith. God gave it to you through the Word. The power to save you came through the Word. That's how you got it. That's why I stay with the Word. As long as I stay with the Word, I have power. See, it don't matter how much. Christians want power, but they want something to drop on and give them a goosebump or good feeling or do something like that. The Word will give you power. The Word will help you cooperate with the power of God. And that's what it does. Faith comes. Faith gives me the ability to trust God so He can do what He wants.
That's right.
That's what the wonder of it is. It's the Word of God. Well, so they've taken the Word and they've just watered it down. They've ripped the power out of the Word. Now the Pharisees, they took the Word and they turned it into a gun to shoot everybody with. They weren't blessing people. They were gunfighting in the street, shooting people up. That's what they did with the Word. So see, you can use power to do a lot of different things. You can use power to do good or to do bad, and these both sides, one of them just said they threw the power thing out, and the other ones are just shooting everything up. So this is a pretty lawless town that they got running here. It's not a good thing. Spiritually, it is really bad. Now the Sadducees would cooperate more, really, we should put the compromise a lot more with the Greeks and the Roman paganism. They would cooperate with them more. And a lot of that was from the standpoint that they is to control power. This is why that they do. They would cooperate. This is one thing as I learned, you know, especially after I get born again and watching things, that you have to be very careful about, you know, who you hook up with and what, because what happens with people, you know, for position and prestige and everything else, people many times give up what's right to get into position. And they'll always do this. Well, if I get in a position, I can do a lot of good. If you have to do bad to get into the position, you're going to be a stinker when you're going to be rotten in that position. Because you'll sell yourself out again and again and again.
Yep.
Won't do it. You got to get over to do it. You can't. I learned that a long time ago. I know how to say no. Those lines you can't cross. You don't do. You don't give up integrity. You don't give up doing right for position. See, people get over and think, yeah, if I can get into this, I can do good. And next thing, they're hecked up. They're into a mess. They sell themselves out. Sell what they are out. And say, no, I won't. I've told people already, no. I don't join this or I don't join that. That is, because it ain't the thing, you know. Because lots of times people that are trying to get you into this stuff is because they want to use you. They may have no integrity, but you have some, and they want to get you in there for their integrity. To get what they want. Oh, well, I got them over here with me, you know. Ha ha, look at this. See, I watch people do that over time. People get over into things. Years ago, a guy in the ministry I knew, he gave me a call. This is back many years ago. And they had a person in their church, people in their church were getting involved during certain things. And anyhow, through it, he had called and talked to me about it and asked to pray about this thing, but I really didn't spend much time in prayer about it. I had prayed a little because I told him I would, but I mean, I didn't get into serious, you know, things about it concerning these people. But it's funny, one night I had a dream, and in this dream, the dream was like, I wouldn't really call it a dream. It was more like a vision at nighttime. Paul made a mention of having a night vision, and I think that's maybe what it was. It happened at nighttime. To me, it was just as real as if I was there. I mean, I've had that a few times where I've had night visions, and when I woke up, I just knew there wasn't anything about it. It was a dream. Everything was real, complete. You know, when you have a dream, dreams are weird things. There were dreams you go through and things get weird all of a sudden. This was so clear and just what was going on and happening and everything else. Anyhow, I knew and I called him and I talked about it. I told him about, you know, what I'd seen and going on and realized, see, what thing this was, because the dream had to do with this. It had to do, in the dream there was this angel. And everybody was flocking to this angel, and this angel was rather a very long distance away, and I just knew, and this ain't, something ain't right. Something's not, because of what was going on. I'm not going to go through what the vision was, but anyhow, I ended up getting up close to where it was, and when I looked into the face of the angel, I knew it was demonic, and I knew it. But see, people run to what looks good, and that's what it looked good. Oh, this angel just looked good. And this is what the people were doing in this thing. They were running to what looks good. And it's one of the things is be careful with yourself about what you think. You take the time. You don't often, when somebody thinks, she tells you got to get involved in something, you have to do this, you have to do that, put the brakes on right away. If people don't want you to take the time to find out if you're supposed to be in it or not, I want you to know about this. They're either baby Christians or they're stupid. Because you don't do that. Number one, you don't do that. I don't do that to people. People have to decide for themselves. My job is not to tell people what to do. They're going to have to decide what they're going to do. This is your life. I ain't the Spirit of God. As many as are led by the Spirit, you're going to have to hear for yourself. You have to learn to do that. You have to learn to decide. This way you can't blame somebody else for your mess. Because people like to blame somebody else for their mess, you know. And you have to decide what you can do and what you should. And so when we're around these kind of things, we need to understand, take the time to find out for yourself about things. Because, you know, Scripture tells us there's many voices out there, you know, none without significance. There's a lot of voices. But you got to watch the voice. You got to learn to find out if the voice or what you're hearing, what's speaking to you, is it right? You have to decide. It's in your decision. It's not in theirs. You know, a baby gets carried off into something I can understand, you know. But you know, I found this out over my Christian walk. Baby Christians don't get involved as in many messes as the so-called people who think they're spiritual. You know why? It's about God. Just like we do, we protect babies, so does He. But if you want to be a big baby all your life, He'll let you get in bunches of messes. You have to learn to take responsibility of yourself. You have to learn to do that. But God will protect. I've watched God supernaturally protect young Christians and stuff. It amazed me. While people who thought they were spiritual got hauled off into junk. Why? God's a good father. And He takes care of the babies. So we need to watch. You don't want to get called off into things. You don't want to do that. So now we have in these groups here, we have the what we call the leadership and that stuff, which in the areas they called the Herodians, which were Herod, but also Herod's sons and stuff. They were the Tetrarchs at that time. And so these are the leaders. Their alignment was completely, this has nothing to do with Judaism. They weren't following Judaism. These guys were appointed by Rome. So who they yield to is Rome. That's who they're hooked to. So that's their allegiance. They were very unpopular among the masses. But in many ways, people wouldn't have been any worse off following after them than they were what they were following after, in a lot of ways. But anyhow, but the masses didn't. In fact, it was considered, from a Jewish standpoint, unpatriotic to follow after them. But it would have been pretty unpatriotic to follow after the other groups. Isn't it amazing, though? But I mean, when you sit down and if you go over and read through and look at the people who understood who Jesus was, we don't find the leaderships. knows who Jesus is. I'm going to tell you, nothing's changed much. A lot of leadership in the church world today, considering high positions, they have lost sight of who Jesus is. They've lost sight of Jesus. We've got to watch this stuff. Why? Because you get out there and you build a religious empire instead of the kingdom of God. And people lose sight. And we need to know that. This is one thing I've always been about myself. I can know who God is. I don't care what the rest of them are doing. I can get a hold of God. You know, if you take when Jesus is going to be circumcised as a baby and they take him into the temple, here's a guy. He's not any hierarchy or anything. Simeon, he knows who the Messiah is. But God told him before he left this earth he would see the Messiah. Now, not one of these other religious leaders knew who the Messiah was. Why? Because the direction they were going. See, I learned this today. I've learned to hear from God over time. I'm sure not perfect at it. Nobody is. But there's one thing. There's a lot of things. I can prove this over the years. There's things that over the years God has showed me and it's come to pass. And I'll tell you, loads of religious leaders have said other things and the stuff that they have said has not come to pass. They don't know God. They talk to whatever pleases people and people want to hear. Yeah. People want to hear. Everything's going to turn out all right. Everything's going to be so wonderful and so glorious. And no, it's not. It's not going to be. Jesus don't need to come if everything's going to be wonderful and glorious. But you know, they don't follow Scripture, but you know, there's things that God has shown me and things in the past. Why? You know, because I want to know what's true. You know, you don't have to pet me and pat me to try to make me feel good. Mm-hmm. I'm born again. God lives in me. I'm feeling pretty good.
Amen.
See, I believe that's true. If I get up in the morning and it doesn't seem like God's in me, I don't care. The Bible says He is. That settles it. So He's in me, we're doing good. I don't need to feel good. I don't need a pat. I don't need a pet. And see, we need to come to this because you can live this life by believing the Bible's true. Because when pressure comes, you're going to have one of two things. You're either going to follow what's in you or you're going to follow the pressure or whatever else. And if you can't come in contact with what's in you, I'll tell you what you follow. Well, I learn in good times to pay attention to what's in me. So when bad times come, I'm a good hook on what's in me. So when bad time comes, I'm in constant memory of what's in me. And see, we want to do that. You see, this is the place that these people are living in a mess. And what's sad is so few know who the Messiah is. Just think. Now, God came down and became a man and walked among him. And they kill him. I mean, think about it. Jesus goes out to masses and heals them and everything else, and they won't open their mouth at the crucifixion. They let these small groups of people take him off and kill him. Do you think they're any better? Oh, people love their lives. They love their lives. They won't die for anything good. We'll die drugging, drinking, doing other crazy things, all kind of stuff. People do. But for anything good, ain't worth dying for. No, I want to make it to the synagogue. I want to go, you know, mom and dad and my cousins and all them, they go to the synagogue. I'm going to be down there with the family, you know. I just I want God, but I'd rather hang out with them. These are things that we decide. Well, for these folks and that stuff, it's a tough time. With Herod, I mean, you understand the kings at that time, the authority they had, like Herod had at that time. When you get around that and realize the power that these had, you know, they put people to death at the word say so, you know. And, I mean, how would you like to live under that? See, we don't live in a... People talk about... I hear Christians... from the time that I got saved, I hear... Well, it's hard in these times today to live to be a Christian. And I always think about this. You know, When I hear people say that, oh, it's so hard today for young people. It's so hard. Yeah, we'll keep saying it. And we have what we've said. We have buried. It ain't hard to be a Christian for a young person. When I was a kid, it was. Hey, I made decisions in my life of what I wanted to do. It isn't hard. Is it any harder? Sin's different. It's changed. So this is what we've done.
Yep.
The Bible says that the life of sin's hard. The church says, nah, being a Christian's hard. We wonder why things don't work. God can't help the stupid who know the truth.
Amen. That's right.
That's right. Can't help them. They know the truth. I'm sorry. I want everybody to know this. It ain't hard to be a Christian. It's hard to be a sinner. I did it for 30 years. And I'll tell you what. I'm glad I did. Oh my God. I don't want to go through what I went through. I don't want to do it. I don't want it again. I don't want it again. This is the best life I ever had.
Amen.
Man, I have somebody I can trust. All I had before was me, and I was the most untrustworthy guy on the block. I mean, I just had me. If you're unhappy, go look in the mirror. You'll find out what's making you sad. Now, you know what? See, people think that stuff sounds hard. I learned it. It's true. I get into times and things and stuff goes on and around people and stuff, and I always end up, God always leads me to this. If you're having a hard time, go look in the mirror. Who are you having a hard time with? Having a hard time because I've yielded my flesh. I've yielded the thing. No. Stuff's going, I'll overcome. I'm fine. I'm okay.
Amen.
God's in me. Whatever somebody else does, that's, hey, I can't govern everybody else. That ain't my job. You know, it ain't Lord. But I tell you, I can trust Him.
Amen.
And see, this is where the walk of faith is maintaining yourself over there in those times and say, because it is so easy to leave that trust and follow your flesh because I heard this was happening or that, and you get into this stuff and, you know, somebody hurt my feelings. Well, I'm going to tell you what I found. It's like, you have hurt feelings every day. You get your feelings hurt every day. You just can't live after that, John. You just can't. You got to, hey. So then you try not to hurt feelings. You know, sometimes you're going to do the truth and people's feelings are going to get hurt. And you know what I do? I just smile. I don't call it back because their little weedy feelings are hurt.
Right.
You know, thank God my parents didn't say, poor little Ed, he's unhappy.
Yeah.
No, my mom would say, you strap up. Or I'll strap you up. Okay, Mama, I think I got it now. I think I understand. I know where you're coming from now. Well, then there was another group that they had at that time, and they were called the Zealots. If the Pharisees and the Sadducees ain't enough, and the Herodians aren't enough, these guys are the revolutionaries. And what even makes it worse is they are religious mercenaries. Reminds you a lot of jihadists today, is what they were. But they were Jewish jihadists. That's what they were. They always opposed Rome. They're always fighting against Rome. They were revolutionaries. Did you know what? I always found this interesting. We don't find Jesus complaining about the government. Jesus lived and was on the earth 36 years under the Roman government, and so the parts that we have concerning his life and living, he never preached and complained about the government. Oh my. See, I'm not a government preacher. I'm not a holiday preacher. I preach the word. Holidays, whether people like them or don't like them, I don't care. I don't preach this stuff because you preach the word. What changes people's lives is God.
Amen.
Not preaching about problems.
Mm-hmm.
Preach the word. The word will deliver you.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Well, they had this. Oh, these guys are crazy because, in literally, I mean, they would. These guys would really. They would kill anybody that they thought would further them, even among the Jews and that stuff. They would. These guys were, you know, very much an extreme in what they do. If they thought something would, something made their case to kill someone, they'd have someone killed. Some in the historians believed they were the extreme right wing of the Pharisees. They thought they were part of them. Because the Pharisees, from a religious standpoint, would use them. It is really amazing because Jesus Christ was crucified. The Pharisees, who highly considered themselves in their separation from Rome, got jumped on Rome's side to get Jesus killed. See, you want to see fake people? They want what they want? I've watched ministers do that numbers of times. Jump on the side of something that's way out of line to get what they want. And I'm just saying this to you. Don't ever do anything like that. To get what you want, if God can't work it out to get it right, forget it. Because what happens there in those kinds of things, those things just destroy integrity. They just destroy your integrity. Because I want to tell you, people will see and know. And when they do, you're done. You're finished. You know, one thing about you, you ruin your integrity. I don't care. Sometimes you can never do anything to get it back. Happens in marriages all the time. People do things. Destroy integrity. They ruin things. And sometimes things go to things the unfixable. See, there's one thing about it. You know, people have, God can restore anything. Well, if he can, we don't find in Scripture he restored everything. See, there's number one, God doesn't override our foolishness, lies, cheating, and stealing. See, we need to understand these things. We need to understand there's payday. Paul wrote and said, God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, that will he also reap. God will forgive you of anything, but he will not correct everything. There's things you're going to, he'll forgive you for doing it, but it may cost you. God, I'll tell you what, there's things, I know God's forgiven me, but I paid for it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
It cost me. We have this big lie, you know, well, God fear and fix everything. Yeah? Well, when's it going to happen? I want to see it. It don't happen. Because everything don't get fixed. And we need to know this. See, doing wrong things, you can separate and hurt things because you're living in this natural world with other people. And you can do things to other people. You know what? You may get God to forgive you, but they may never forgive you. And you may not have to live in a world with that. And they eat at you all the time. So be careful. If people don't like me, I wanted to be for I was righteous, not because I was, not because I was unrighteous.
Amen.
Want to crucify me? I want it for a good reason, not because I deserve crucifixion.
That's right.
Hey, get over. And so we need to know this. So this is why when we look at these people living this time, to me now, when people look at this, they say, oh my God, all this, to me it gives hope. God showed up in the middle of a mess.
Amen.
And I've learned this. God will show up in the middle of a mess. Hardest things I've ever gone through in my life, every time God has shown up.
Amen.
He's faithful.
Been in life and death situations, God showed up.
Amen.
See, I do the bad times. You know, I'm not praying for God to generally to show up and things, but I'll tell you what, I know how to call on the name of the Lord when I need help. Bible says so to do it. Calling on that name. Well, there's times you just need help. And see, this is why you want to walk and live in faith, because when you do that calling, it ain't calling hoping for something happens. It's your calling because you know He'll show up.
Yes.
He'll show for you. You see, this is why you want to live in this place of faith. That man, when you're in trouble, you can yell and God, you know, He's going to come and help me. He's going to do something for me. That's the way He is. He's exactly what the Word says. And see, you need to walk and live in that place. Because see, you know, these people, because of all this mess going on, most of these people don't know who God is. They don't know Him. God's walking around among them, doing all kinds of things. They see something good happen, it's great, but something over here, next thing they're over following this. You know, the Pharisees say something, we're over here with that, because, you know, I don't want to get in trouble with that if I follow, you know. You know, this guy that's doing all this good and healing people, we're not going to follow him because the Pharisees don't like it.
Yep.
Loads of people in churches like that today. Criticize the good going on in that stuff because their religious group don't believe this or they don't believe that. You know, they're criticizing anything good. Anything that's blessing. Anything that's learning, you know. We believe God's big and he can do everything, but he don't do miracles. There's no angels. There's not no miracles. Yeah. Somebody says he saw an angel and they'll criticize him. I just joined the club and want to know why we have more people don't see them. I want to know.
That's right.
I look in the Bible and it's full of people seeing angels. We should have more witnesses of those things. Yeah. And the reason, there's only one reason why that doesn't happen. It's faithlessness.
Amen.
That's the only reason.
That's right. Amen.
If God's not manifesting himself, it's never God's fault. Never. God responds to faith. He responds to faith. So that means there's generally a low level of faith. You can't believe for much, you don't get much. You don't believe God will do much. I need a miracle, but you know, you run around, spend the whole time and spend years after year making fun of people who talked about miracles and everything, and then you come up, you get sick, and then you ask people to pray because you want a miracle. I'm sorry, 10-1, you're not going to have one. Because you have built it in you, and you have put it inside of you. God, well, you know, I don't know about this stuff. Then you're yelling for one. Say, oh, if one shows up, we know it wasn't because of your faith. It's called mercy. God had mercy on a fool. Hallelujah. Now, I'm not knocking it. God saved me. He had mercy on a fool. At the top of the fool list. So, hallelujah. He was good and I wasn't. Hallelujah. But he put good in me. Glory to God. He's something else. Let's close in prayer. Father, you're so wonderful and gracious and good. And I want to thank you. Lord, as we look, as in the days when you came, stepped out of heaven down in this pit. Hallelujah. The glory of God showed up in a mess. But Lord God, you loved them so much. All that they did, it didn't matter. Jesus, you died for them. Hallelujah. You were raised from the dead for their justification. And I want to thank you that our names were in that. Hallelujah. So we just want to say thank you. Lord, we look at our day and time it is. And Lord God, all that's going on and people losing hope. Lord God, we're not. Hallelujah. Lord God, our faith is getting stronger. Lord, I want to thank you. Hallelujah. Lord, our expectations are high because man needs you. Hallelujah. We're in a mess and there ain't no other way to get out of it. It's hallelujah, the visitation of heaven. And I want to thank you that heaven's walking among us. Heaven's living among us. Hallelujah. And I thank you, Lord God, heaven will manifest itself and show its glory in these day and time before Jesus Christ returns. And we just want to say, thank you for being so good to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.